Mental health can be a difficult topic, but one we need to talk about, especially as this problem relates to, in severe cases, suicide. Those numbers are high in Montana, and especially amongst our youth, and that's troubling. Are we facing a mental health crisis in our schools? Are we allocating enough resources, the right resources, in the right direction? Special guest host Dr. Eric Arzubi, a child and adolescent psychiatrist, is going to lead a discussion today on this issue. And joining us, Kalispell Public Schools Superintendent Micah Hill. And Superintendent Hill is going to reference what their school district has been going through over the past couple of years as a suicide cluster. Has our response to the pandemic played a role in that? Again, all those questions, resources, enough resources, the right resources. I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. We'll begin the discussion today, but we're not going to leave it here. Look for more to come on the perplexing issues that surround mental wellness. And thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe. Here's today's show with Dr. Eric Arzubi and Kalispell Public Schools Superintendent Micah Hill. Let me welcome our guest, our first guest here. It's Dr. Eric Arzubi. He's been on the program before. He's the co-founder of Frontier Psychiatry. We talked about that. That's an exciting kind of a new venture since 2019. That's putting a lot of resources out there in rural medicine, in telehealth. And we are going to talk this issue, and we'll continue talking about mental health. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for having me. And again, I want to thank you for your leadership and being open to being able to discuss an issue as important as this one. It's not easy to do. It's not comfortable for everybody, but it affects everybody. So I think again, just really happy you're willing to do this.
Are we doing a better job over the last two decades? Is it the last decade? I mean, where has the medicine or the practice, I should say,
sure,
grown?
So here's the thing. Nobody's cracked the code on this. In other words, if you look around, the country and say, hey, you know, there's this state has got it dialed in, and their suicide rate is close to zero, and nobody's depressed. That's not happening anywhere. So nobody's cracked the code. So that just means that we all need to look around and say, what can we learn from other people who are doing a few things right and implement it? One of the things, one of the things that drives me a little. Nuts, to be honest, about sort of mental health research and some medical research, but certainly mental health research is, you know, we're coming up with newer and better things, but there's very little dedicated to actually implementing and rolling those out, and especially in a place like Montana. So, for example, you know, you read about new therapies and new interventions in the latest research when a lot of people in Montana still can't get basic therapy or even Prozac if need. I'm not saying everybody needs Prozac, but we can't even get the basics out to people who need it. So that's to me what's frustrating. So really my focus and the focus of our team is really access. That's what we need to be focused on here in Montana.
We're focusing this one today, and we'll continue having a mental health discussion in the belief that we can make a difference, that you can make a difference, and that educating about it is very, very vital to that implementation. I noted that down. We're going to focus here a little bit today on youth, on adolescents, and especially because a lot of that, their society is centered around, well, it's social media in a lot of ways, but through the halls of our schools. And so a bit later on, Micah Hill will join us. He's the superintendent of Kalispell Public Schools, and we may have other guests join us here as well. But let's turn to the problem right there in schools, child and adolescent psychiatry. Those resources not implemented enough?
No, that's a pretty simple answer. But, you know, again, my background, I'm a psychiatrist. So, and then one of the things that'll be interesting to continue to kind of talk about and sort of educate, I think, the communities, or what's the difference between the different sort of roles in mental health care, right? You got psychiatrist, you got psychologist, you got an LCSW, you got an LCPC, you got an LA, right? So one of the things I think will be really, really cool that we might be able to do over time is really help people understand the difference between those different roles. Anyway, I'm a child and adolescent psychiatrist, which means I went to med school for a long, long, long time.
Yale, by the way.
Well,
I'm sorry, but yeah, pat on the back.
All right. And then after that, I went to, I did my adult psychiatry training and then another few years of child psychiatry training. So I went to school for too long. But there are too few people who are dedicated and focused on providing access to child mental health services. And the, you know, the thing that's critical about schools is, well, before the pandemic, you know, about a third of kids' waking hours are spent in a school building. Mm-hmm. So a third of the issues and problems that might emerge from kids will show up in school buildings. So unfortunately, we're kind of asking schools to do a lot, right? And that's, and that, yeah, in itself is a problem. If we're not gonna, if we're asking schools to do a lot without the resources, that's, you know, they're trying to be teachers, that some are trying to be parents, they're trying to be mental health professionals, and we're asking a lot from the schools. So the point is, the mental health system needs to collaborate and work with the school system to help lift kids up and make them feel supported.
And that's good. I mean, they're a good place to maybe recognize where there may be early indications, but I'm not sure it's always the best place to treat those kinds of issues.
So I, you know, there are two sides to this. I actually happen to be, if we can help the schools and the school districts with the right amount of support, it can be a really nice place to do it. Nice is a weird word. Perhaps it's an effective place to do it. And here's why. It's a child's natural environment. And if you can bring care to a child's natural environment, it's less stigmatizing, right? So instead of driving the child to the local mental health center to go see the shrink, well, guess what? They can walk down the hall and work with a counselor, and it doesn't become a big thing. Does that make sense? So,
yes.
So if we're doing this right, we can actually improve access and reduce stigma.
Well, and that's the thing. We think of treatment as come in, you know, every other week and sit down and we'll prescribe some drugs. But as we talk about implementing these tools, it's there's levels that you analyze, mm-hmm, for appropriate treatment, right?
For sure. And again, what I love about this opportunity and here having this conversation with you, Tom, is the ability to really, I think we have the ability to kind of simplify one's understanding around what's happening and mental health. Really, when I meet with someone and I'm wondering what's going on or somebody reaches out for help, I need to understand, are we talking about low, moderate, or severe mental health problems, right? So not everybody who's experiencing anxiety needs a medication or needs to go into the hospital. That's no. In fact, most mental health issues are somewhere between mild and moderate. Okay. But for the folks who are struggling with moderate to severe, that's where we kind of have to step up the interventions. But this is true for any medical problem. Diabetes, for example, you might have mild, moderate, or severe diabetes, heart disease, and other medical illnesses. So this is very similar. So I start by trying to understand, what are we talking about? Are we talking mild, moderate, or severe mental health problems?
Dr. Eric Arzubi is with us, co-founder of Frontier Psychiatry. It's frontier.care for information there. He served as chair of psychiatry at Billings Clinic, 2014 to 2019. One of the things, and there's a list here that we'll get out as time goes along. One of the things that you did was launch the first Empath unit, which deals with crisis care. Now, we're going to talk a bit later on with a number of guests. Micah Hill is on the line, superintendent of Kalispell Public Schools, and they've been dealing with very, very emotional times right now. But I want to talk about crisis care.
Sure.
I want to talk about the definition of it because in this, as I noted, in this Surgeon General's advisory, youth mental health crisis, further exposed by COVID-19 pandemic. I suppose some of that is true, further exposed by COVID-19 pandemic. But the use of the word crisis, is that appropriate?
Well, you know, when we were preparing for the show, you know, the comment I made and I kind of repeat here is that one of the least newsworthy things we have about today's discussion is that we have a mental health crisis. Well, guess what? We've had one for a long time in Montana, having struggled with, you know, pretty awful suicide rates for the last 30, 40 years. That's a term we could have been using for the last 40 years. So do we use a new word now? You know, so back to your point. I think, you know, when you think about crisis, we tend to think about playing defense, right? We need to stop the crisis. Well, how about we play offense? How about we prevent the crisis? How about, right? So when we're going back to what you brought up before and kind of between mild, moderate, and severe problems or mental health problems, wouldn't it be nice if we were able to kind of prevent people from going from mild to moderate to severe? Well, let's help people when it's mild to moderate and instead of, you know, sounding the alarms when it's a crisis.
And part of the reason it's become this crisis, or why? Why don't I ask that question? What is one of the reasons it has become this continuing crisis?
Sure. So, you know, you mentioned the COVID-19 pandemic, and again, even before that, we had a problem, and you know, you could make the argument that it was a crisis. What happened with children and adolescents right before the pandemic? The rates of suicide got to the point so that suicide was actually the second leading cause of death for youth aged 10 to 24 years old. Number one are sort of accidents, and number two, suicides. And that happened in 2018, before the pandemic. Then what happens with a pandemic? Well, if you remember at the beginning of the pandemic, families were being displaced in many ways, including economic hardship, losing jobs, companies were shutting down. Well, Guess what the mood and morale might be like in a home like that. And then you have schools starting to shut down. And so kids aren't seeing their friends, are becoming more isolated. And schools have done some incredible things with very limited resources in providing supports. So kids aren't getting access to the supports. So these are all things that just kind of added layer upon layer upon layer of problems to kids who are already struggling.
The pandemic, we presume that it's a temporary emergency situation. We presume that this will eventually be endemic. We only got a minute left in this segment. Do things get a little bit better once we get outside of a pandemic?
Well, again, we need to be thinking about that today, because what we don't want to do is, you know, I don't know when the due date or the expiration date is pandemic, but on that day, we don't want to start thinking about next steps. We need to be thinking about those things today. And in my mind, this is like an aircraft carrier. We're not going to be able to spin this thing around, on a dime. We just got to start shifting slowly and start doing it now.
We'll talk more about mental health wellness in our school systems as we try to address what the Surgeon General has called a youth mental health crisis. Dr. Eric Arzubi in studio with us here from Frontier Psychiatry. And now upcoming next is Micah Hill, as I mentioned, superintendent of Kalispell Public Schools. Come on back with more. And you can join us too. Text us at 781-627-5483 for Voices of Montana.
Steel outdoor power tools may be hard to wrap, but once they get opened, you'll see why Steel is so easy to give. Find the right gift this year with battery power made by Steel. From mowers and blowers to trimmers and chainsaws, our AK Homeowner series of battery tools starts at just $199.99. Shop now by visiting your local Steel dealer or going to steelusa.com/gift guide. Real Steel. Find yours. All prices MSRP available for participating dealers while supplies last.
Talk about some of those numbers here as we're looking at mental health. Suicide among the elderly is high in Montana. Suicide among veterans nationwide, and it's even a little higher here in Montana. That's 38 veterans complete suicide per 100,000 in the population. We're looking at this from the focal point of our education system. Child and adolescent psychiatrist Dr. Eric Arzubi is with us, and also a lot of credit in adult psychiatry as well, but a lot of focus, Eric, on child and adolescent psychiatry. We're going to move now to the school systems. One of the areas has become it's been known struggling with some recent suicides is the Kalispell Public School District, and you want to talk about crisis care, and unfortunately. I think there are many of our leaders in the school system. This is not their first time through this. So there are some things to learn and some best practices. But set this up for us as we'll welcome Micah Hill.
Sure. So, you know, so Montana, we have 825 schools. And a few months ago, OPI released a set of data, which is collected every 2 years. And it's called the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. And as part of that survey, one of the things that emerged is, guess what? We continue to have a problem. And most recently, we hit a 30-year high in terms of the statistic where 41% of high school students reported feelings of sadness or hopelessness in the prior year. That's a 30-year high here in Montana. And about 10% of high school students reported attempting suicide in the prior 12 months. 10%. What's 1 in 10 kids reporting that they attempted suicide? One of the things that Montana has, which is which was really great to see when I first arrived in Montana, is a program called the Comprehensive School and Community Treatment Teams. And these teams are a certified licensed therapist and a non-licensed therapist that provide care for up to about 12 students per team. Now, what's happened in the last 12 months, and this has been a problem that's been brewing for even more than that, is it's starting to hit a wall in terms of funding and the ability to kind of actually to execute the program because of funding issues and staffing issues. And so now it's become sort of this political hot potato where the Department of Public Health and Human Resources and Human Services was running the program, and it got shifted to OPI by the legislature because they were, I guess, frustrated with how it was being funded and what was happening. So that is background. I mean, I'd love a little bit more insight into that issue and the issue around school mental health with Micah Hill, who's the superintendent of Kalispell Public Schools. Maybe you could weigh in on that.
Superintendent Hill, thank you for joining us. I appreciate that. As Eric had talked, did you access those resources? Were care teams in action? How effective were they in what you guys have recently gone through?
Yeah, I think, one, to kind of set the stage a little bit is, our community experienced what is referred to as a suicide cluster. We had 8 suicides from May 2019 to present. And so a number of them in a very short period of time. Prior to that, I had been a building administrator at a high school here, and we had not ever experienced a student who had committed suicide or completed suicide in the 13 years. So not something that we had ever really had to deal with, and then it just it kind of hit us pretty hard. And we brought in Dr. Scott Poland, who is a national suicide prevention postvention specialist, and had a lot of conversations in our community in and around what we are doing, what we do from a prevention standpoint, which we do an awful lot of. And then, trying to figure out, what do you do differently moving forward? And I think Dr. Azubi has, touched on a number of key things. 41% in that youth risk behavior survey expressed depression and anxiety. And from a Kalispell's perspective, aside from that period from March until the end of school at the beginning of the pandemic, where everybody was shut down, we have had our doors open every single day. We have never closed a school down. We have provided all of those services, including CSCT services that were mentioned earlier. We had 12 teams in our district. Some of our schools were large enough and had enough students that needed access, where we were able to support 2 teams. But that has shifted here in the last little bit. Certainly some challenges with finding qualified therapists and people who want to be in those positions. And then I think one of the other challenges for CSCT is Medicaid funding, and not everybody qualifies for Medicaid funding. So you have a group of people who, if they can't afford that, if their insurance doesn't cover it, they just don't have the access that they might otherwise have. It's a compounding problem.
Mr. Allen, I appreciate that's great insight. I mean, so first of all, I think you bring up an important issue, which is exactly, and when I was doing a lot of work and referring to CSCT programs, that was a big issue, is with kids who had private insurance wouldn't be covered under the CSCT programs, and so they really didn't have access to school-based mental health the way we know it. So I was curious. I actually had 2 sort of questions and relate to what you just said. One is, it'd be great to hear about what you learned from the the national expert. His name was Dr. Scott Pollard. Is that right?
Or Poland.
Poland. Sorry, Dr. Poland. It'd be great to hear kind of what did you all learn from Dr. Scott Poland that maybe other school districts could really learn from and adopt. And then the other thing is, what's happening with CSCT programs? Did I kind of frame that problem correctly, or what am I missing, and where are we today?
All right, stand by. You've got 2 minutes to think about that, Micah Hill, because we'll come on back, and we've got a headline break here. We got more news to cover, but what you learned and, what's the current status of CSCT? So Kalispell's public school superintendent, Micah Hill, with us. Dr. Eric Arzubi in studio. Here's Brian Bennett with the headlines.
Open your new Stockman Bank account anytime, anywhere with online account opening. Now you can open an account in minutes on your laptop, tablet, or mobile phone. It's convenient, simple, and secure. Open your new account today at StockmanBank.com. Then, add our online and mobile banking services so you can manage your money when, where, and how you want. Stockman Bank, Montana's brand of banking. Member FDIC.
Mental health, the focus, especially in our education system. Tom Schultz alongside Northern News Network's Voices of Montana. Dr. Eric Arzubi is in studio. On the phone is Micah Hill, superintendent of Kalispell Public Schools, and we're getting right back into the conversation about mental health. And Dr. Arzubi had mentioned, Micah, recent events over there, as you noted, a suicide cluster. What have you learned with a national expert coming in, Dr. Poland? And then he wanted, and I think that's fair, I do too, how effective, what more tools, maybe they were very effective, the CSCT, the Comprehensive School and Community Treatment Teams, that were employed in that situation.
Sure. You know, I think one of the things that Dr. Poland really pointed out to our community, because there, when these things happen, there can be a lot of blame and finger pointing and, you know, people making comments like, you know, the schools need to do more. And I think you noticed in reference earlier that, you know, we have these kids for 7 hours a day. And then, you know, what happens with the other 17 hours and what we can control and what we can do. You know, but the one thing that he said is that, you know, the answers to those questions, the why, died with those kids. But from, you know, just years of data and research and collection of information, you know, most of these situations involve an underlying mental health issue for these people that have committed suicide. And, you know, so being able to recognize that, he also talked a lot about, you know, the stigma around mental health and what that looks like. And you ask the question, what if we treated mental health the same way that we treated physical health? If my child has a sore throat and I look in it and I see some white bumps, I might take my child to their doctor, and then we're going to get a test, and then we're going to treat that. And, you know, in kind of the Montana way, you know, we pick ourselves up by our bootstraps, we rub some dirt on it, and we move forward. And I think there's a lot of conversation that needs to happen. And Dr. Poland said this as well, that, you know, in our places of work, in our places of worship, in our homes, in our schools, we need to talk about it more, and we need to destigmatize mental health. And when someone says, I'm not feeling okay, we need to be able to look at that and respond to that and say, what can we do? How can we support that? And I think those are some of the key pieces. One of the other things that he talked about was working with other districts, and he has responded to, you know, dozens of suicide clusters and school shootings. Was a, you know, a specific person who in our district who could be a focal point for, you know, health, wellness, and suicide prevention. And so one of the things that we're doing is we're adding that position to our district to continue to support, because I think one of the challenges, and this kind of leads into CSCT, is that, you know, we're a district of about 6,300 students, and, you know, at our large high schools, we have 1,500 students. We have four counselors. Counselors are not therapists, and they have a lot of other responsibilities aside from the mental health for students. And so just having the availability of resources either within our schools or within our community is critical.
A lot to explore following that. We'll come on back and then talk about what are appropriate expectations for our educators in this school system in the fight to improve mental wellness in Montana. Dr. Eric Arzubi, Micah Hill from Kalispell, back with more in a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
It's called a whiteout, and it requires caution. Snowplows create a cloud of snow that limits visibility for drivers following too closely, oncoming vehicles, and sometimes even the snowplow driver. Be patient. Plows maneuver slowly to clear the roads. As you approach a snowplow, slow down and give the plow driver room to work. Remember, don't crowd the plow. A safety message from AAA Mountain West and the Montana Department of Transportation.
real tough topic when we talk about mental health and especially suicide among our children and our adolescents. Which one of these statistics do you not want to hear? Up to 1 in 5 children ages 3 to 17 in the U.S. having some kind of emotional or mental or developmental or behavioral disorder. The one that I don't like is the one that affects Montana, number one in the nation and generally in the top five for suicide rates. Here's one, 2008 to 2019, the state's youth suicide rate for kids 11 to 17, 11 per 100,000, more than double the national rate for the same age group. Kind of address this. We are addressing it. Dr. Eric Arzubi is with us in studio here. As I mentioned, Frontier Psychiatry co-founded that in 2019. Also served as president of the Big Sky Regional Council of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, currently on the board of directors of Prevent Child Abuse in Montana. And with us from Kalispell, superintendent of the Kalispell Public Schools, Micah Hill.
So, so this, again, it is the fastest hour in Montana. I can't believe how quick this is going.
Yeah.
So first of all, you know, one of the things that was brought up before is really being able to talk about this difficult issue in a way that's more comfortable and allowing people to be more vulnerable. And, you know, one of the things that I'll put out there now, and I'll continue as we continue to have the conversation. I've struggled with anxiety for a long time, for many years, took medications to help me with anxiety and went to therapy, and thank God. And so I think, you know, anything we can do to kind of make it more comfortable for people to talk about it. I mean, I got zero shame about that, and I continue to work on it every day, and it's okay. But one of the things I want to jump back to in talking to Micah here, the superintendent of Kalispell Public Schools. First of all, I love what you're doing with naming this sort of mental health champion is the way I kind of think about it, because that's allowing you to kind of play offense instead of playing defense, right? Instead of trying to put in things once a crisis has started, is what are you doing to try to get ahead of this? Do you mind, Micah, telling us a little bit more about the champion that was kind of defined by Dr. Scott Poland?
Yeah, you know, I think, a lot of times the work that we do in schools can operate in silos. And so one of the things that we're trying to do, and, you know, for our district, I mean, we've had a suicide prevention committee that we've, I mean, for the last 8 years, we have worked on this. We do training with our staff to recognize the, you know, signs of suicide. We put the crisis response lines on the back of every ID card of every student, middle school through high school and adult. We have student assistant program. We do restorative circles. We do a lot of these things that we refer to in our world as kind of tier one interventions, right? They are good for every single student. I think seeing, you know, OPI coming out with the social emotional learning competencies complements the work that we're already trying to do in those areas. And then it's, you know, the challenge becomes when you get getting into those tier two, tier three, at what point do you make referral for CSCT services? What are these things that we're seeing in these students that are causing us concern, or things that parents are bringing to us and saying, you know, I have a concern for my child. They aren't the same. They're not laughing anymore. It's hard for them to get out of bed, and so what do all of those wraparound services really look like? And having someone who can coordinate that, but also someone who can work and interface, you know, just within our county. I mean, it's not just a Kalispell Public School issue. It is a countywide issue for us in Flathead County.
Well, and as you can imagine, well, it's Montana-wide and certainly national. But what you're talking about is all this prevention work going upstream from the crisis for when these poor kids actually make a suicide attempt, which is fantastic. You're playing offense, not just sitting there and playing defense. So what's happening with the comprehensive school and community treatment teams? I mean, again, it doesn't sound like there's been a resolution there, right? I mean, on the one hand, it's something that Montana and Montana Public Schools have relied on for a long time to help support the mental health of students. But, you know, it's interesting. These different organizations are declaring national emergencies when it comes to child mental health. And one of the main recommendations is really bolstering what's happening in schools, and Montana is sliding backwards.
Yeah, it's complicated. We have been providing CSCT services for over 20 years. We partner with Logan Health, which used to be Kalispell Regional Medical Center. We partner with Greater Valley Health, Intermountain, to provide these services. And I think something that we saw across the state you know, when the change in the legislation to move it from the hands of Department of Health and Human Services to OPI, and how complex and convoluted it became to start to offer these services, I think providers got scared. I think school districts got scared. And I think we saw a reduction, you know, statewide. We're in a larger metropolitan area, but, you know, I try and imagine what would this look like in Fairfield, Montana, or in some of our smaller communities where these positions are hard to come by. And, you know, whatever we are, whatever process we're trying to put in place to address funding and, you know, how those are supported is really complicated.
Well,
on the bright side.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, to your point, Micah, sorry, I apologize for interrupting. But to your point, what I want to kind of emphasize there is, right, in many of these communities, right, because in a place like Kalispell, there are a couple offices that have therapists, you have a mental health center, you got the hospital. But to your point, in a small community, the school's it. The school's it.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and I would even say in a large community, the school is it. You know,
yeah.
We provide 2/3 of every meal. We provide physical health. We provide dental health. We provide, you know, just the number of services that a school provides and that our communities have come to rely on us to do is really important. And I think we're willing to be partners in that, even though, you know, we got into the position because we want to educate.
Yeah.
You know, what we're being asked to do with less is increasingly challenging.
Well, and that, I think that's part of a healthy discussion is how much are we expecting our education system to bear the burden of other needed services in our society? And I want to ask you this question. As Superintendent of Kalispell Public Schools, Micah Hill, Dr. Eric Arzubi from Frontier Care, a child and adolescent psychiatrist specialist here on Voices, is the effectiveness of our approach right now when it comes, and I know, as you mentioned, there's the access. This is where kids are spending a lot of their times, but they're not spending all of their times there. And if we put all the eggs in that one basket, are we not doing a good enough job in other areas? And then that basket is just overfilled and it breaks. How effective, what do your educators tell you about all that's expected of them when it comes to mental wellness?
Great question, Tom.
Yeah, I can answer first, and I can tell you, you know, just our experience, and it might be a little bit skewed just because of, you know, our recent suicides, but our people are completely overwhelmed and are struggling themselves. There's this thing called compassion fatigue, and you know, how do you deal with this day in, day out, every day? And there's not enough of you to go around to support all of that. And so, you know, it's regardless of how much time we have with these kids, we care about every one of them. You never want to see this happen to anybody. And I think as long as we're willing to be partners in making sure that our facilities are able to accommodate that, you know, that's what we want to do.
So I guess one question I had, you know, what's strange to me is I was kind of following the news around the comprehensive school and community treatment teams, which again is had been pretty foundational to providing and supporting the mental health of kids in schools in Montana, is the shift of mental health care from the Department of Public Health and Human Services to OPI. So all of a sudden you have the right, that basically the State Department of Education trying to handle and manage mental health of kids. I mean, we're not doing that for other health conditions, I don't think. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I have sent, you know, letters, emails, given public comment at the interim committee that I feel like school districts are caught in the middle. All we want to do is provide these services for our students, and we're in the middle of some sort of, I don't know if it's a turf war or what it is. I'm not really sure why this got shifted to OPI. You know, I'm sure it's much more complex in areas that I don't understand, but it, you know, I don't know that it was for the positive. I do know that, you know, on the bright side, next week I've got a meeting at the Capitol I've been invited to discuss solutions with OPI and the Department of Health and Human Services to try and see if we can't fix this. And that's our goal. That's our hope.
I'm very interested in those conversations, Superintendent Hill. So we'll keep in touch. I got to take a break. We'll come on back and shift the focus a little bit to some of those resources that come from that public and that private partnership, as John Dorn is going to come on, Divisional Vice President of External Affairs at Blue Cross and Blue Shield, as we continue this conversation about mental health wellness and just moving this ball forward in a positive direction, as our in-studio guest and co-host Dr. Eric Arzubi likes to say, moving it upstream, is that what you say?
And playing offense, yes,
playing offense, yep. So we're back with more from Montana for Montana. It's Voices of Montana.
It's a fact. Human beings thrive in stable, predictable environments. But for the last few years, the world has been anything but stable and predictable, which may have left you feeling out of sorts. One thing you can count on is Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Montana. We're committed to making mental health services more accessible to our members and to our communities, so you can get the help you need. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Montana is with you, for you, through it all.
Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Montana, Division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a Mutual Legal Reserve company.
Might have picked over a lot of scabs here. We'll continue this conversation about mental health wellness in Montana on a regular basis throughout. Co-hosting here today, Dr. Eric Arzubi from Frontier Psychiatry. Our guest here as we focus, too, on our education system, Superintendent Kalispell Public Schools, Superintendent Micah Hill. And John Dorn is standing by with Blue Cross Blue Shield, and we'll get to that public-private partnership here and how that can help, especially in the school system in just a bit. But you wanted to follow up with a comment.
Yeah, just, again, going back to something that Superintendent Hill made, which I really appreciate his time and his expertise here, you know, he mentioned, you know, like there seems to be some sort of turf war. And again, I'm not taking either side of the turf war. All I can tell you is the side that I am taking is for the kids who are struggling. And really, kind of, there needs to be a sense of urgency to really to solve this problem as soon as possible, because kids are suffering and will continue suffering. And the other kind of point I wanted to make is, you know, one of the things that we really need to do in mental health, we need to do a better job in holding ourselves accountable, is measuring our outcomes, right? So one of the things that I know in the articles that have come out about the CSCT program is the question of, is it effective? That's a fair question. So if we're going to invest in something, we need to know, is it effective? And I think it's a fair question, and we should be measuring outcomes to make sure that what we're doing is effective.
We're going to keep that in mind for another day, because do we have well-defined outcomes? How can you measure outcomes if they're not all that well-defined? Want to introduce John Dorn here in this discussion. I know you've been listening, John, and I appreciate that. Vice President of External Affairs for Blue Cross Blue Shield of Montana. I think it's important to recognize, as we look at mental health, the industry or the psychiatry or the science improving, I think the insurance companies have also recognized that. And talk about what you guys can do overall to help in this situation.
Yeah, Tom, thanks for having me on. This is a great discussion today, and I couldn't agree more with Mr. Hill and Dr. Arzubi, with whom we've worked for several capacities in the past. You know, the upstream approach of playing offense to prevent the crisis before it begins is essential. And this is one of our highest priorities as an organization at Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Montana. And one thing that we're providing across the state in line of the public-private partnerships, where we can really help schools with those resources that are so scarce, is we're providing a mental wellness basics program. And this is a free program for schools across the state. It's an online tutorial that's been developed by a team of clinicians to essentially equip students with the critical skills necessary to build and maintain their mental well-being. And the program really focuses on four things. It focuses on increasing knowledge and awareness of mental wellness, reducing the stigma around mental illness, promoting self-efficacy, and encouraging action. And we've implemented this program in more than 150 schools statewide for more than 3,000 kids, and we're already seeing some remarkable results. Students leave the Mental Wellness Basics program more prepared to develop and deploy their own coping strategies, more knowledgeable in how to find help, and more confident in how and when to help others in need. And so it's our hope that this program can really equip this and future generations with the resiliency skills that they need to cope some of these pressures that seem to be building day in and day out in teens across the state and across the nation.
Thank you, John. Superintendent Hill, are you utilizing this resource? Has it been effective? A comment.
No, we have not. We have taken some other resources. I mentioned a couple of them earlier, you know, the student assistance program, things that are really at that tier one, level, and having those conversations with students, you know, from elementary to high school about resiliency and coping skills and where to go for help and a variety of those things. So we haven't utilized anything specifically like that. I know, too, that the Office of Public Instruction has a program. I think it's K through 5. It's called PAX. It's a game that's built around social-emotional learning.
I love that we're ending, we're getting close to the end of the segment, focused on building resiliency, playing offense. And what I love that you mentioned, John, is that it sounds like you did put together some metrics to try to understand what were the outcomes of this intervention to show that it makes a difference. And I think that's critical. I mean, it sounds like that's what you guys did.
Is that true, John?
Absolutely, Dr. Arzoubi. And that is the critical piece here. So this program involves a survey before the program starts and a survey after it ends. And I'll just give you a couple of very quick metrics.
So we've got 20 seconds.
In the introduction to mental health, students reported 63% awareness beginning the survey and 85% afterward. And most importantly, again, encouraging action. 56% of the students who have taken this program before it started said that they knew what to do. 82% of students afterward knew exactly what to do when they recognized these signs in themselves or others.
All right. I appreciate that. Run out of time, but we haven't run out of days. So we welcome you both back, and we thank you for your participation. John Dorn, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and Micah Hill. Give all those teachers and educators a pat on the back, and Eric, we'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Thanks, guys.